In a moment, we are going to have the first of our readings for today. They are all the readings which are appointed for use on this particular Sunday. The first comes from Isaiah. We will have an epistle from Galatians, and we will have our gospel reading from Luke chapter 10. And the very small passage from Isaiah talks about how wonderful Jerusalem was at the time. But it also, I think, when I read it, and I wonder what is it all about, what's its connection to the other two readings, which are very clear to each other. And this, I think, does try to prompt the people of Jerusalem to be always looking out for the signs of their times. What things do we need to be looking out for? What signs are there in their in our times now, which we should be aware of and we should be alert to? We have now our reading from Isaiah chapter 66.
Reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 10 to 14. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, and you who mourn over her. For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breasts. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. Amen.
Thank you. And in a moment, we will come to our passage from Galatians. And I'll just say in advance that last winter at our church in Gibraltar, our minister did a Bible study on Galatians. And I came to realize that Paul didn't particularly like the Galatians very much. He was pretty dissatisfied with them, and they were a pretty divisive lot, and he was pretty annoyed with them. There's a picture, which can we go on to the next one? There's a picture which you might, hopefully we'll see at some point in time, which has not just serve, but it has the same picture, and it has the word love all on it. And the message, there we go, love all. And the message from this passage we are going to hear now from Galatians is that Paul was saying to the people of Galatia, the church there, that they had to love all. They could not be divisive. There was a big dispute between those who supported Peter and those who supported Paul. And it appears that sometimes never the twain could meet. This big issue about circumcision and non-circumcision. And Paul, in this passage, pours cold water on their thinking. So we will now have our passage from Galatians, and it has this focus, I think, on love all, which somebody very cleverly has put up as a picture for this reading. So, love all.
So here we have the reading from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the word has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So there we saw Paul talking to the church in Galatia about what they were doing wrong. And I guess we should all put ourselves in the position of the church of Galatia. Are we sometimes like that? Are we so preoccupied with what we think is right and we can't see anybody else's point of view? Does this stop us in our ministry within the church and into the community? Because Paul was saying to the church in Galatia, yes, it's stopping you. When we come to our gospel reading, which comes from Luke, Jesus talks to a whole mass of people, just like us, about going out and reaping a harvest. And Paul was saying to the people of Galatia, of that little church, that your ministry is being frustrated because you want to do it your way and you don't want to be led by the love of God, the love of a Christ who went to a cross, the love of a Christ who died for us all. And so we come back to this picture. As we serve, may we truly love all. In a moment, we will have our gospel reading for today, which comes from Luke chapter 10. I'm sorry, it's my mistake. I missed a zero off. So it should be 10. It's not Luke number 1. You would think that was a very strange reading. This is the passage where Jesus sends a whole mass of people out. Some translations have 72 people, others have 70 people. Previously in chapter 8 and 9, we hear about Jesus himself going through towns and villages. We hear him sending the disciples out. And it's now widened out, and it's to the wider mass. It's to the call for each one of us here to go out and do something. You may say it's Andy Murphy's job, or Nathan Fowler's job, or any other minister you might have in this circuit. I better mention Alison Wayman and David Tomlin and Trevor Thomas. Are there any other ministers here? Well, okay, I've mentioned them all. You may want to put the blame on all of them and say it's your job to go out and do it. That is not what it says in this passage from Luke. It is quite clearly a challenge for all of us. And according to Jesus, according to Luke's gospel, the challenge is urgent. It's urgent. Yesterday, we went to see a very sick friend. A friend of ours who, interestingly, has a house in Gibraltar and has a house here. We are not unique. There are lots and lots of us like this. Very odd people, you may think. But anyway, we went to see our friend. And about 3 months ago, he was taken ill. He was taken into hospital in Gibraltar. He was there for about 4 or 5 weeks, and on one Friday or Saturday night, I think 7 weeks ago, he suddenly took a bad turn for the worst. Cut a long story short, the following morning, he was put into an ambulance with a nurse, taken to the airport, put onto a plane, and flown to London, where he was taken to St. Thomas's Hospital, and where he had emergency surgery, I think, 4 days later. That was the urgency of a situation. And you may say that, and we saw him yesterday, he looks pretty good, having had a life-saving operation only 6 weeks ago. That was an example of great urgency. And thankfully, the surgeon, presumably in London, challenged the people, the hospital in Gibraltar, to do something, to get out, to push it. And they did it. They organized the ambulance, they organized the nurse, they organized the airline to have a special place for a very sick person and a nurse at less than 24 hours' notice. An example of someone and something responding to an urgent task. And for Jesus, in the passage that we are going to hear, we are hearing Jesus talking about how the people who he was sending out, and they weren't the disciples, they weren't the equivalent of our ministers today, they were the people like you and me sitting here today, being sent out to do something, and Jesus said it's urgent. And he said there's a great harvest to be reaped. And we will see the picture of this great harvest there. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. And so today in our worship, we are being challenged, I think, to question to ourselves, how do we serve and how do we reap our harvest as we love all into the community of which we are a part? That was the challenge to the Galatians. How did they not differentiate? How did they work with people of all colours, people of all backgrounds, males, females, the whole lot? How did they rejoice in the joy of the risen Christ and Saviour and reveal God's glory to all? Paul said that was the urgent task. We only heard verses 7 to 15. If you want to go home and read the rest of that chapter, that's a little bit which is in brackets in the lectionary, but I thought it was a bit too long to have. But if you want to go and read the rest of it, you're welcome to do so. And there's more about how Paul was encouraging people to go and do all things wonderfully, love for all. One or two people have said they liked Paul Glass's reflection, and I wasn't going to have it today, but I thought, well, somebody said it would be a shame if we didn't. So after you've had the gospel reading, Ruth is going to come and read Paul Glass's reflection, which is, again, reflecting on this theme of Paul, that we have to go out and we have to love all. And for everyone here, the task is urgent. So we have now our reading from Luke, followed by a reflection which Ruth will read.
So our gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 10, starting to read at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out, two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Do not take purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who he sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Community life is complicated, isn't it? Take living in community. It's hard, isn't it? I know how I want that job to be done. And this person's trying to help, but it'll be easier and quicker if I do it myself. Not to mention the job will be done the way I want. Well, what about this? I know I'm responsible for the life I live, a life, I hope, of freedom and love. But there's also looking out for each other and helping others to carry their burden when it's too heavy for them. Of course, what that means is that I too need to allow others to do that for me. And that's what I find difficult. Being open enough to allow others to help. It's complicated. Pride gets involved. Wanting to stand on my own two feet. But community, God community, is about sharing the journey together, about nurture and cherishing, holding and growing in love. Carrying my own load does not mean that I can't ask for help. Being responsible for my own life doesn't mean that I can't help others. As I've said before, it's complicated. But it's also beautiful when we get it right. The mutual flowing and rippling and bubbling of love and care, of quiet moments and gentle talking. And when it happens in the holding of God, then there's a power and a grace, a hope and a peace that reaches out and pulls in and supports and enlivens. There's a sense of being held by something far greater than ourselves. And that brings its own understanding of coming home.
Well, what I'm going to say now will undoubtedly upset Andy Murphy very much. Andy Murphy has been sending lots of messages out to you, because I do get them, about a certain football team called Newcastle. I just can't understand the logic or even why he wanted to mention it. He seemed to think they've done some wonderful achievement. Very odd, in my opinion. Sorry, Andy, if you are beaming in now, I can't agree with you. Because for me, there was another highlight of the last football season. Spurs won the Europa Cup. Spurs have won nothing for years, indeed neither did Newcastle. But anyway, somehow Spurs won the Europa Cup, which means they are in the Champions League next year, which probably means they will disappear at the first round, but that's life. Anyway, that happened. What is common to both of these stories? And I didn't really see what happened in Newcastle, but because when we're in Gibraltar, if you watch BBC News, when it comes to the local news, you get London news. I have no idea why, but it comes up. So the day after Spurs won this thing, or was it 2 days after, whenever it was, and the bus came out, and the team got on the bus, you could see all the scenes. What I could make out, and I'm sure the same thing happened in Newcastle, the bus wasn't in the front. There was a big fanfare going on to the front, leading the way and getting everybody very, very excited and promoting what was going to happen. And then, of course, way back, not far, that far behind from what I could make out, but it was a very, very abbreviated little thing on this local news program, along came the bus with the players and everybody cheered. In our Bible reading today, we have this story of Jesus going to Jerusalem. It would seem he was going to villages he may not have been to before. Some he may not even go to at all. He was just making this journey to Jerusalem. I do love this every 3 year cycle when Luke's gospel comes and we spend several weeks and months on the whole journey of Jesus going to Jerusalem. And here we have him sending out these mass of people, the 70 or the 72. And they were being encouraged to sort of almost be heralds. Just like the stuff that went before the bus turned up with the footballers on board, there was things going on, exciting people. And the people who were being encouraged by Jesus to go out, they were being encouraged to speak about the wonders of Jesus, to herald the way, to see what wonderful things he had done and could do, and to point people in the right direction. And so the journey went on. About 8 years ago now, before we came anywhere near here, I did a walk from a place called Gravesend to a place called Canterbury. And it was basically following the Pilgrim's Way, which you probably all heard of. And the Pilgrim's Way, if you were to go on this particular journey, is about 60 miles. And I did this sponsored walk for a homeless charity, and I did 15 miles a day, so it was 4 days. My physio told me at my age I shouldn't do more than 15 miles a day. So there we go. Anyway, so it happened. And what I was fascinated by, because one or two people knew I was coming, and people came out to greet me. And they seemed to be delighted to see me. And I've got very happy memories of some of the villages on the Pilgrim's Way in Kent. As people greeted me and they gave me cups of tea and refreshment, and they were delighted to see me. It was wonderful. And in that passage, Jesus was almost encouraging people to think about how they did their journey and to encourage people almost to welcome and to see what reaction they got. They were given food, they were given shelter, and they were almost encouraged not to think about what the costs would be. And if people said, "We don't want to see you," they just moved on. I think there's a message here for all of us. We are being encouraged to think very carefully about what is our task in following the ministry of Jesus in this place and other places where we are parts, in our schools, in our homes, in our workplaces, in communities, in social activities. What are we being called to do? How do we serve? And how do we ensure that we have this overriding theme of when we serve, loving all? Because that's what those people who did the journey following Jesus' instruction. They were going around through villages. They weren't being discriminatory. They weren't being like the Galatians, saying some people they liked, others they didn't. They were encouraged to greet everyone. And if someone didn't like them, they were encouraged to move on. There's a great challenge there, I think, for us. Because I think the picture gives an idea what our lives are like to be as we follow the way of Jesus. We are being encouraged to think, what are our roles in the church? What are our roles in our communities today? There may be some we meet who know something about the church. Maybe some who know nothing about the church. But no matter who they are, we are being encouraged to pause and to think, how can we love all and serve you? Preachers these days are massively privileged. Compared to when I started, which was far too many years ago, the amount of support we get now is massive. And as I was looking at some material for this week, I was just looked at a little document called The Vine. And The Vine comes out week by week, produced by a minister in Devon, I think it is, a Methodist minister. And the Methodist minister in Devon, as he was talking about our worship theme today, he mentioned the words of St. Teresa of Avila. It's got up on the screen there, and I will read it to you. Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ looks out to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is about doing, which is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless others now. Saint Teresa of Avila was a Spanish saint, apparently, of the 16th century. But that leads us, I think, to ask ourselves, as that passage said, from that ancient saint, what is Jesus asking of each one of us now? What do we have to do as we respond to that challenge? What do we have to do as we respond to the challenge of our readings today? Paul encouraged us to love all. Isaiah, I think, was also, in his own way, encouraged us to look out what is needed. Life might be wonderful for us, but look out what needs to be done, as I got out from that passage. And of course, Jesus told us all to go out and do something in his name and for his glory's sake. So the message I can leave with you on this Wimbledon Sunday is serve and love all.